The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clouds. The Colossus of Clouds.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery. It works, Vince. We're in. Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer is Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. You can call us if you have a question about the value of a collectible. The number is 312-332-3776. And we have a prize to give away this week. It's a 2017 Topps Inception baseball box will be the prize. So if you call in, Vince does the drawing at the end of the show, picks a winner, and then with ERC Delivery, his company, he sets up free delivery for the winner sometime during the week. Now, we're going to talk about some of the items that the Huggins and Scott Fall Auction bidding begins October 30th, and we're going to talk about some of the items that are in the Huggins and Scott Auction to give you an idea of some of the different type stuff that can go in one of their auctions. It's not always just cards that go in it. There's a lot of different things that can run in the Huggins and Scott auction. Some things might have value that you never even would have thought have value. Now, here's something. If you had this, you would probably know it's worth something, but this is kind of cool. It's a Super Bowl II program signed inside by eight, including the MVP of the game, Bart Starr, also signed by Max McGee with a $200 minimum bid. And then there's a Super Bowl II ticket stub, PSA Authentic. Vince, do you remember that? You probably wouldn't even, were you even around for Super Bowl II? You were probably just a little kid.
Born in 64, so.
Oh, yeah, like so you were just, three. Yeah, you wouldn't remember the game. Do you know who played in Super Bowl II?
I'm going to say Green Bay versus Dallas. Was that the real old Super Bowl?
No, that was the game, the championship game getting to the Super Bowl.
Ah, okay.
They played
KC?
It was Oakland.
Ah.
They beat Oakland 33-14.
Clearly, I don't know the answer.
KC was not a bad guess. Okay. Yeah, but that ticket has a $250 minimum bid, so yeah.
Very nice.
I remember the first Super Bowl.
You know, Tom, speaking of KC, I heard last week you have the same guy I do on my fantasy team.
You got Kareem Hunt?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How about him? Oh, my gosh. What round did you get him in, Bill?
I think I got him in, like, the sixth round.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I took a lot of flack in the one that we picked in. I picked him in the second round. It was like the day after Spencer Ware got hurt, and I'm thinking, okay, he's got to play. He can catch the ball, run. And a lot of guys were protected, so I picked him in the second round, and everything I saw about him, everything I heard about him was good. I was hoping it, but I'm thinking New England. It's like I just hope he has a decent game.
We all thought you picked him way too early, that he'd be available maybe like where Bill took him in the fifth or sixth,
yeah.
But
no, yeah, second round.
You're smarter than we are because I had Rex Burkhead in that game.
If he turns into a great player, that'll be a great trivia question that he went through his entire college career and never fumbled. And his first play in the NFL, he fumbled.
Yeah, wasn't that something? And they said he had fumbled once but recovered it in 856 touches or something like that in college. And first one, it was actually not a bad run. I'm thinking, oh, that's a nice run. Then he fumbles. Tom Coughlin would have benched him, and they would have lost, and you probably never would have heard from him again.
Yeah, he didn't tolerate rookie fumbling the football.
And it's like, come on, you know, he's a key guy to the team. You know, boost him up, get him out there, and that's what they did. Man, what a game. Now, In the other league that Vince and I had a draft in, after that, I didn't take any of the same guys, so I don't have the rookies in that league. I don't even really like being in more than one league, but if I'm going to be in two, I want to have completely different guys. Because what if on that first play he tore his ACL and then you got him on both legs, right. And you're like, okay, now right. I'm dead in both legs. Or yep. Or if he fumbled and they benched him and he didn't play or whatever. Yeah. So I like having different guys, but this team with that going on with him, if he can be anything like that through the whole year, oh my God.
And Alex Smith looked really, really good. When Mahomes was drafted and all yeah. the hype Mahomes was getting in yeah. preseason, and Alex Smith looked possessed.
He looked really
and
good.
He did.
Now, what I was saying last week, too, was it'll be interesting to see what happens with cards. I don't know if I said this on the air, if I was telling people about this, that everybody watches that first Thursday sure. night game. So Kareem Hunt, if he can go against New England and just have a good game, can you imagine his cards will take off? Well, after that game, I had an autograph of him from Prestige Football on eBay with a $19 minimum bid, had no bids before the game. Right now it has 6 bids. It's at $30 wow. and it ends Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see who knows where it's going to go after that game. I mean, there could be a couple guys that it just goes crazy. I haven't looked at the things that have been ending at auction since then, but I would imagine a lot of them end today and tomorrow to really get an idea of what his prices are. But he was impressive.
Yep. And a lot more young, exciting talent to come this weekend with Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon,
yeah.
and a few other rookie really? Running backs. So
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Kizer, the quarterback.
He's starting against Pittsburgh. So
yeah, that'll be interesting. You know, they don't have a great pass defense, so that'll be interesting how he does.
Yep.
So, Bill, pretty much whoever you were playing this week, you didn't have Alex Smith on your team also, did you?
No, I wish I did.
Yeah, somebody was saying at T-Crown yesterday that they were in a league that somebody had those two guys that they were playing. It's like, oh, my gosh, forget that. Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. You can call if you have a collectible you think might be valuable and give us an idea of what it is, and we'll tell you if we think we'll give you an estimate of what it could sell for in a Huggins and Scott auction, or even if it would be worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction. And then you'll get in the drawing. We're giving away a 2017 Topps Inception baseball box. Now, we're upstairs today. We're not in our regular studio, so I'm going to have to log into Twitter. But my Twitter ID is TCrownTom, so if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention on Twitter and we use it in the show, you get in the drawing that way also. You know, I had a customer came in. Bill Huggins, I don't find many of these. He didn't have it with him, but he said he has a Nellie Fox single signed baseball. And I was trying to find them. There's not a lot of them out there. I found in some other auction company a couple of years ago, they've had them anywhere from 2 or 3 of them that ran as low as 1,000. And one of them was well over 2,000. Do you ever remember running a single sign Nelson Fox signed baseball?
I honestly don't. I'd have to look at our archives to see if we have, but if we have, there certainly hasn't been many, if any. You know?
No, that's kind of unusual that I would have thought, you know, he's on team signed balls. I actually have in my collection at home, I have a 1961 Topps card that he signed across right under his face on the card. Really nice, bold signature that I've had that for about 10 years.
Wow.
You know, the way autographed cards are taken off, who knows, that might be climbing in value. I should probably get that in one of those PSA DNA holders or whatever.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah, so that's I really like that card though. But so if the customer that has that ball brings it in, I asked him the condition. He really didn't know. So that has a big part of it. But think if this is a white ball with a bold signature, that could be some big money, don't you think, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. I think you're $1,000 may be the low side.
Yeah, it seemed like it. The one, I think I saw one that sold for a little over $1,000, and it was best wishes made out to somebody and then signed by Fox on the ball. So that was a little bit different. You know, if you have one just single sign, and I don't remember, I guess a couple of them were on the sweet spot, but one of them was so faded you could hardly even see it. So it'll be interesting. I hope he brings it back in and we can see it. I had another customer in. I can't say who or what it is, but we're hoping he comes back that had some movie-used memorabilia. Bill knows what I'm talking about. We can't say it. But,
yeah, that could be fun. I'll look forward to mentioning that if it comes.
Yeah, that will be fun to track. This will be what this could go for. Wow. I hope he brings it in just so I'm like dying to talk about it. There were customers there when he was there talking about it Saturday, but I don't want to mention
it. And
it
I can't mention it either, right?
No.
So I'm just
wearing. No, you can't either.
All right, I won't, but that is a pretty cool thing.
Isn't it cool?
Out. Yes.
It really is. I sure hope he brings them back.
Yep.
He has to get something to go with it, and that would help prove it. Oh, that's where the countdown clock is,
Eric. Oh, I was looking for that.
I see it over here. Yeah. So, Eric, are you here just for this Saturday, or are you going to be back regularly on Saturdays? Or
I believe I'll be back next week. I
mean, okay.
It's just I just follow the schedule.
Okay, you never know.
But I show up. Okay. I just wasn't scheduled last week. That's
yeah.
All.
Now, why did we do the move up here?
We are up here because they're doing construction on
the
entranceway, yeah. And during construction time, it's loud, even though it's not happening now. But
yeah.
We're just up here for the
okay.
time.
Okay, I see. Very good.
I didn't get that memo.
Yeah, I didn't get that memo. We're sitting down there talking and well, we made it. We've made it. It's been a couple of times where we've been barely getting on in time.
But we've never missed
a
start of a show.
Yeah, right.
Close a couple of times. Never missed.
Right. Well, the number's 312-332-3776. You can call us if you have an item. Unopened material is really doing well in auctions now. Here's in the Huggins and Scott Fall Auction in 1984-85, Opeachy Hockey 48-pack wax box that's BBCE wrapped. That makes a big difference in those old wax boxes. If they're BBCE wrapped, they check them to make sure they're legit and haven't been tampered with. Now, that box, you can get Yzerman's rookie, Cam Neely's rookie, Chelios, LaFontaine, Gilmore. I remember back, that has a $200 minimum bid. I remember having those boxes, you know, in the early 90s,
sure.
Once in a while. They were fun packs to open, but I don't think they were probably $4 or $5 a pack back then. We used to do pack wars with 88 Fleer basketball
packs. Oh, really?
Packs. Oh. I never had the 86s, though. I never could find them. Never was able to get those. So it sounded like, Bill Huggins, you had them. Did you guys ever pack war the 86 Fleer basketball packs?
No, I don't think so. They were just, gosh, believe it or not, they were very unpopular. They were $10 a box, and nobody bought them.
Yeah, isn't that nuts? Now they're like over $1,000 a pack. I saw somebody was doing one of those breaker things online, and they were selling packs, and then they were going to, I don't know how they were going to do it, but everybody had to pay for a pack. Maybe then they would say, this pack goes to Vince, this pack goes to Tom, and then send them to you. If you want to open them, you can do whatever you want. But I'm pretty sure he was asking $2,000 a pack.
Wow.
And they only had like three or four openings in it when I was checking it out. So it's like, oh my gosh. Isn't that something? Now $2,000 a pack. Oh, I had a guy, another guy was in, Mike, who has sold vintage cards in the past. And I was talking to him about some stuff, and he had some sets that had writing on the back, so he didn't know if he should do it. We called Bill, and Bill said, you know, as long as you put them together, maybe lot the sets. They were late 60s, early 70s. And then I was telling him, you know, some things that he goes, yeah, I go to garage sales and estate sales, yeah, and things like that once in a while. And I said to keep an eye out for unopened packs, and he goes, oh, I'd be just like Vince on the show. He goes, I couldn't leave him sealed. It's like, see, Vince, you got that.
See, it's not just me.
Yeah.
It's not just me.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. If I found a box of the vintage stuff and they were selling for like a grand or more a pack, I think I could keep those sealed and get them.
But
get
in
them.
Part two, in my own defense, is my company, my main income is from my business, which is a delivery service.
Right.
It's
so
not
you're...
my business to be in sports collecting and try to make money and stuff, although I try to make a little on eBay. But to me, it's the fun part
of
my life.
The fun of ripping it open.
And so if I'm going to have fun with a hobby, I'm opening up cash in my possession.
Right. I think that much money, I don't know that I could do it. Although I'm not going to say, I don't know, if you got them at a garage sale or something and you had to send them in to get them graded, I might be like, I might be trying to justify in my mind what I'm going to do. Okay, we've got Bob from Oak Brook on the line. What's new, Bob? What do you have?
I have a funeral card from Newt Rockne's funeral. You know, when you go to a wake or they give you and I got a cast iron bust of him that my father gave. You know, he was born in 1900, so he bought it in 31 right after Rock died. And then I have a stamped, canceled envelope with the stationery when Rockne, when they had the, and it was canceled out of Notre Dame, Indiana.
Wow, what do you think of that, Bill Huggins, that combo from the time that Rockne died?
Geez, I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice if there was an autograph piece with it or something like that.
Well, they don't autograph funeral cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a tough one to get.
You don't have any autographs of him, though, from your collection? Any signed letters or anything like that?
I might. I have to look.
Oh boy, yeah. You must have a pretty good collection there. That would be cool if you had a Rockne signed item with those two items in an auction. That would be a great lot, don't you think, Bill Huggins?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That now we're talking cha-ching, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So Bob, check it out, and I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville. If you ever want to stop by, I'm there Monday through Saturday, and show me some of your stuff. And then. I could take pictures for Twitter, and if you think you want to sell it in a Huggins and Scott auction, we could send it out to Bill.
Okay, I also have an autographed book, signed book from George Mikan, addressed to me, to Bob, my friend, and a great sports enthusiast and everything from Mikan.
That's pretty good, too, actually, that, a Mikan signed. I think that's probably 100 or two for a signed Mikan book, something like that. That's a good one. I collect the top 50 all-time NBA players. I've got a Mikan autograph, or I would have been interested in that myself. Well, it's time for a short break. The number is 312-332-3776. We're giving away a box of 2017 Topps Inception Baseball, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. You can call us if you have a question about the value of a collectible, if you think it might be worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction, or you just want to know what the value might be, if we think it would be worth putting in an auction or not, what it might sell for, if it's a $50 item or a $50,000 item. We'll try to give you at least an idea of what it could sell for. So give us a call, 312-332-3776. And I can tell you that we're giving away a 2017 Topps Inception baseball box to one caller, or if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing for the box. Vince will pick the winner at the end of the show, and he will set up a free delivery right to your door with his company, ERC Delivery.
And if somebody does want to come to your store and pick up the prize and maybe say hello to you and see what else you got going on, they can certainly do that. Just let me know.
Yeah.
And
because usually Vince will have the driver pick it up at my place first. So, yeah, if you're in the Triple Crown area, or like Vince says, you want to just pick it up, then that's fine to do it that way, too. It works either way. Mm-hmm. We're giving it away. They finally got the prize last week. You know, we hadn't had a couple of weeks there where nobody claimed the prize, but they got it last week, and hopefully they got something good out of it. So now we're going to talk about some of the things that are in the Huggins and Scott fall auction. Lots of stuff at HugginsandScott.com already. This is a neat item. Talking about old signed baseball cards. Here's a Honus Wagner 1940 play ball card number 168, Beckett Authentic with a 10 autograph, $400 minimum bid on that one. There's something about just those vintage cards with the signatures. I really like it. I'm big on them. So we'll see how that does. Now we've got Brian from Oswego has been waiting on the line. What do you have there, Brian?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I have a baseball bat signed by Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, and Ted Williams. That was a gift to my son on his when he was born. So curious on the price on that.
Okay, Bill Huggins, I think you've run those or similar items before. What do you think of the value of that one?
Has it been authenticated yet?
It has been authenticated. I just can't remember the company. It has a certificate in the case that it's in.
Yeah, I mean, if it's authenticated by PSA or JSA, that's a home run. You're looking at, $10,000, probably $5,000 at least.
Ooh, wow.
To get those three on a bat is very tough. There was a bunch of them that leaked out that were not legit that I have had the unfortunate, tendencies to run across. But if you can get one that's got a PSA or a JSA letter, that's a home run.
So, Brian, if you wanted to bring that in a Triple Crown in Naperville, I'd send it to Huggins and Scott. And depending on how it's authenticated, they might still have to get PSA, DNA, or JSA to authenticate it before they ran it. But if it passes that, then run it in the auction. If not, they'd have to send it back to you if it didn't pass. So, check and see who you did have that authenticated it. And then if you do decide you want to auction it, we'd give that a shot. Wow, that'd be big. I know there's not a lot of Mantle signed bats, it seems like, that they do go for really good money, just Mantle by himself.
Right.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Okay.
So, great. Thanks for the
call. Sure. All right. Well,
to just see a picture of it, worst case, see a picture of that bat.
The story behind it goes that if there would have had to have been only a one-way thing that it would have been signed. It would have been Williams, then Mantle, then DiMaggio, because DiMaggio supposedly would not sign a bat that had the other two on it. And it's just a hard way to get those three on it because of the little conflict they had between the three of them.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it something how the politics and the egos enter into it?
Yes.
All right, it's time for Which Ended Higher. Vince Clementi each week tries to pick. I name three items that ended in the August Huggins and Scott auction, and Vince tries to pick which one ended higher. Now, this week I'm doing Vince. All three items were from the Bill Weiland collection.
Oh, okay.
So this is kind of interesting. Tying in with the Mickey Mantle made me think, let's do the Which Ended Higher right now. And they're relatively close in final value, so this isn't an easy one this week. Okay, the first item, which Vince and I have tried to rent a time machine to travel back to 52 and get these, 1952 Tip Top Bread Mickey Mantle PSA 1 Bill Weiland collection. Next item, 1967 Topps Punch-Outs Mickey Mantle PSA 4.5, the highest grade of that, and that's from the Bill Weiland collection. And then 1953 Topps Mickey Mantle, maybe a 1.5 or a 2 condition, but a 9 PSA auto authenticated. So you got an autographed, and that's also from the Bill Weiland collection.
So it's all Mickey Mantle.
Yes, all three items are Mickey Mantle.
I'll choose the Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Ryan.
Yeah. I'm going to go with number three, the 1953 Topps.
That was actually third on the list.
Surprise!
Eric, what would you have picked out of those?
I was going to go Punch Out just because I enjoyed that video game.
So. Yeah, and once again.
Surprise!
The first one is the 1952 Tip Top Bread. Do you believe those Tip Top Bread? Now, I got to start buying bread that has stuff in it. They've got this other thing in the Huggins and Scott auction. It's 1954 Tip Top Space Cards. It's a PSA graded lot of five. They were singly in loaves of bread in 1954. I guess that must have been big in the 50s. And a lot of them, I guess, had creases and stains on them. So these are pretty nice ones. In the lot, there's only a $50 minimum bid, so we'll see what happens with them. But have you ever remember seeing anything in a loaf of bread or like a
When I was a kid, I was a kid, like Hostess had some different things on the boxes.
They probably did.
So what did these go for in those auctions? What were the prices on those?
The Tip Top Bread went for $7,000.
Wow.
The Punch Out, $6,600. And the 53 Tops Mantle PSA 9 Autograph, $6,000. So they were, you know,
relatively
close. All in the same ballpark.
It wasn't too far off.
No, it was a tough one. That was a tough one to pick, without a doubt. The number here is 312-332-3776. You can call with a question on the value of a collectible and get in a drawing. We're giving away a box of 2017 Topps Inception Baseball. So it's a good prize. And you can tweet a picture of an item to get in the drawing also. I've got a couple of things here. I don't have a picture from Dennis on Twitter, but he said, had a ball autographed by Eddie Matthews about 25 years ago, no inscription. Rough value on that ball, great show. Bill Huggins, Eddie Matthews single sign, are they in the $100 range? Or?
Yeah, if you've got one of the older signatures, it's $100 to $150. He's passed away quite a while ago.
Yeah, and he was tied, I think, in the all-time home run list with Ernie Banks, so, you know, a real good power hitter. He and Hank Aaron were teammates together for a long time. Yep. I don't know if they're top for the most teammate home runs, you know, as teammates, or they're right up there if they're not top. And then Steven on Twitter, first-time listener, how much would you value this entering for that Topps Inception box, beautiful cards? He's got a Chris Bryant. It's a one of one. From, what's the name of that company from Topps where they had the different designs in the background? I can't think of the name of it, but it's a 101 Chris Bryant card. That's hard to put a price on that one. That's the type of thing you might start it at a few hundred dollars and see where it goes. Yep. Bill Huggins, now you're running more of the newer stuff in the Huggins and Scott auctions. A Chris Bryant one of one card, you know, from a kind of a fancier Topps product, Topps High Tech Black Rainbow, he called it. He said in a separate tweet, is that something you'd want to try, or do you think that by itself not being signed, you wouldn't want to give that a shot by itself?
Oh, I think any of those one of ones of the big name superstars, you know, Trout or Bryant or Harper, anything like that. We've got a good audience for those.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, that would be something then, Stephen, that if you wanted to send to Huggins and Scott Auctions, you could do it. I don't know where you live, but you can always stop by Triple Crown in Naperville if you have an item that you think you want to put in an auction. You know, I was checking. I don't know what got me on this yesterday, but I started thinking, how much is James Shields making? And does he have a war? You know, is it a positive war or not? And how many millions per war is he getting paid? Well, I checked it out. He's making $21 million. I think half of it is still being paid by the Padres. And technically, the Padres are getting a better deal from the White Sox because he's a negative war. So the Padres are getting more for their money by getting nothing than the White Sox technically for getting a negative. But how would you divide? I tried to do this. I didn't even know how to divide this. If any math majors out there, maybe, Eric, you know. Can you divide 21 million by a negative 0.4? Like, for instance, I was checking Kershaw's war this year was like 4.7, and he made 35 million. So, okay, you can divide that. It's like 7.2 million per one war. And then Scherzer actually had a really good one because for the next couple of years he's making $22 million, but then he goes up to $42 million. So he had like a 7 war or something and $22 million. That's $3 million per war. So I'm kind of thinking, you know, this would be something you can go back in history to compare guys. Remember where you'll hear like, what would this guy have made would that guy have made? Well, maybe you figure, okay, let's say it's an average – 3 or 4 million per war point. See what their war was in a year, because they have that, and then figure out what they'd be making with that type year in this marketplace. It'd be kind of cool. I remember one time we had Moose Scourin as a guest on the show, and he was griping about how much Mark Grace was making for a first baseman with no power. He goes, what would I have made in this market? Well, now maybe next week I'll check out what Moose might have made based on that. Eric, were you able to divide that, or does it – I tried it on a calculator. I don't know if it came out right or not. Was it like over 5 million is or 50, over 50 million? Would that be right?
It was 52.5 million.
Okay, that's what I thought. And I'm thinking, but yeah, because he was less. I mean, if it was a one war, that would be 21 million.
Right.
So a negative 0.4. Basically, he's getting paid 52 million per war point by getting that, which is. Not good. That's you don't
and
want to
since
be,
he's under zero. It's
yeah,
just
yeah, looking, he's a negative. No, to me, bad. If I'm the White Sox,
was that a bad acquisition for the Sox to get Shields? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. If I'm the White Sox, why not try him as a closer? Okay, maybe you get some value out of him that way. Try him the rest of this year as a closer. See, maybe he likes it. Maybe he's good at that. He's certainly not a starter anymore. Last year, for the whole year, he was a negative 1.6. I don't even want to try not the calculator on that one. Now, the good part, at least they're only paying half his contract, not the whole. But who gave him $21 million a year?
I don't know. One of your White Sox general managers.
No, it wasn't them. You know, it was the Padres that did it. And he was coming off a couple pretty good years when he did it. But by the time the White Sox picked him up, that year he wasn't good and he got worse then. When they picked him up. So, I don't know what even got me going on that. It's one of those things.
Well, maybe
yesterday,
he could be like an usher or a bat boy or something. They could get some value out of him.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, James, if you're listening. I'm just throwing it out there. Just kidding.
The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. If you have a question about the value of a collectible, you're getting a drawing for a 2017 Topps Inception baseball box. It's time for another short break, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, getting a drawing for a 2017 Topps Inception baseball box. Vince will pick the winner at the end of the show and set up a free delivery to your door. Or he can tweet a picture of an item. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and if we use it on the show, you get in the drawing that way. And any listeners who follow me, T Crown Tom, I always try to follow back. As long as I think it's a real human being, I try to follow back. I'm looking up Moose Scourin stats, okay, over 14 seasons. Let's see, his average war, he probably averaged right about a 2 war per year. So if and figure 4 million per war point, he probably would have made about 8 million right now, which wouldn't have been bad. I think he could have gotten by on that. He would have been happy with that, I bet. Think about it at the time. I think, here it has his salaries. The highest he made was $48,000 in 1966. And a lot of times he was in the 30s. So, you know, he was a good, solid first baseman. Rich from the north side is on the line. What do you have there, Rich?
Hi, guys. Good morning to you. First of all, I have a 1968 signed in very faded condition college football all-star game, and I have an interesting story behind it. A friend of mine gave it to me, and I brought it to a show out in Rosemont. So when I was there, it had Larry Zonk and Ron Yari and a lot of the signatures I can't make out on it. So I didn't authenticate it, but I know it's legit. So I brought it out there and I give it to, you know, I just wanted to show it to Larry to see if he could recognize the ball. So he'd say, oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, he thought I wanted him to sign it. So he signed the thing in big, bold, black marker on the ball. And I was like, no. But, And so now I think he decreased the value of the ball, but I don't know really what it's worth. I've never authenticated it because the signatures are faded because it was left in the sunlight. And I just kind of wanted to get your insight on this. you know, if I should sell it or keep it.
I think you should keep it. I think it wouldn't pay to authenticate it. It wouldn't be worth enough. And you got the story you can tell people when you have it at your place. That particular one with those guys, I think it's more valuable to you than it would be to anybody else.
Could you give me a rough as to what it might be, you know, worth?
Well, is there less than zero? No. I mean, it would be hard to get a lot for it because really, if you had to pay to authenticate it, I don't think you could get what you had to pay to authenticate it. So you'd be probably about equal with James Shields' war, a negative, I think, on that one. Unfortunately, that happens sometimes, you know. Like I always say, the autograph authentication is a necessary evil because of all the phony autographs that are out in the marketplace. And if you don't have, if you like to get stuff signed yourself, but it's not that valuable, you kind of have to sell it yourself on eBay, try a buy it now best offer. You're the only one that can say, I had it signed in person. You can't bring it to me and have me do it because I didn't see it get signed, so I can't do it that way. But, you know, the more valuable stuff, it pays to get it authenticated and then sells really well. Vernon from Rockford's on the line. What do you have there, Vernon?
Hello.
Hi.
I have a Russell Westbrook. It's a Murad rookie, his rookie year. It's a signed card, numbered 3 out of 10.
Ooh, that's nice. Westbrook stuff has really taken off. A Murad. I know what the Topps Murad product is. Is it in really nice shape? Do you have it graded, or it's just in nice shape?
I don't have it graded. Would it be worthwhile doing that?
Well, it would be worthwhile doing that if the signature is perfect. Is it signed on a sticker or on card?
It's one of the cards that's, I think it's fabric, and it's, you know, like sealed in plastic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, the card would have to be perfect to justify it. It's already low numbered and signed, so you're going to do well with that. I would think, I mean, it's hundreds of dollars. Bill Huggins, a Westbrook rookie autograph numbered to 10. Is that something you'd want to try in a Huggins and Scott auction if Vernon wanted to send it in?
I think if Vernon could get it graded, if it does grade a 9.5 or a 10, we would do better with it than we would do it in raw.
Okay, so that would be one check. The centering first, it's got to be perfectly centered, and then check corners and surface front and back and edges. And if everything looks really sharp on it, then get it graded. And if you get the 9.5/10, they could do it. If not, you could always put it on eBay, Vernon.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Westbrook with a talk about it. If you had Westbrook in fantasy basketball last year, you were in good shape because he did – talk about filling up the stat book. He did it last year. I wonder what it's going to be like now that he's got a teammate that can play with him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be back more like when Durant was there with him, I guess. David from Antioch is online. What do you have there, David?
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
In 1984, my dad took me to Candlestick Park, and I went to the All-Star game. And I brought an American League ball in one pocket, a National League ball in the other pocket. And I think it was after the game, I somehow snuck into the locker rooms. Don't ask me how. I was probably 14 or 15. Anyway, I went into one locker room and got them all to sign it. And I remember in the National League locker room, Don Drysdale signed it. And so I have, like, Strawberry and Mike Marshall and Samwell. And in the American League locker room, I found out later on I got Andre Thornton to sign it twice, which I thought was kind of funny. And then I went up to Eddie Murray. I'm a little kid, and I said, I don't like what you did to Richard Dotson last year. So I love him. I got Dan Quisenberry, who I know has since passed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't have the balls with me right now, but...
So are they basically, do you have 20 or more signatures from, from the team?
Yeah, I think 22, maybe on 118.
Bill Huggins, an all-star ball from the 80s, what do you think of the value of those at this point?
Well, it would really depend on how many Hall of Famers are on the ball and the condition, but if they're nice and clean and bold and you've got all the key signatures on them, they're probably in the $400 to $800 a piece range.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of those players, I know it's a long time ago. I know Ripken's on there, but I just don't know how many Hall of Famers. But thank you, 4,800. That's pretty good.
Yeah, very good. Okay, Jason sent a picture of an item here. He has an Alshon, this is on Twitter, he has an Alshon Jeffrey stand-up along with a picture with Alshon. Any value for the former Bear? I think those stand-ups usually sell for $20 or $30, actually. Kind of a cool picture, though. But, yeah, not a lot of value. I wonder if Alshon can stay healthy this year with Wentz at quarterback, how he could have a good year. That should be an interesting offense to see. But Alshon's problem the last couple of years, it seems like after Brandon Marshall left, I don't know that he works out as hard and got injured a lot, had injuries. So
I think he's kind of motivated this year. He's got a one-year contract with Philly,
I think he's
worked out.
Well, hopefully he has. If he has and can stay healthy, he should have a very good year.
He's on a bunch of my teams this year, so I'm kind of liking
him. When you were really on his bandwagon there, I thought, well, I bet Vince has him on at least a fantasy.
Can you tell?
Yeah, that always Now, here's the thing I was going to say. Okay, the Cubs probably don't win the World Series without Kyle Schwarber, okay? You had Kyle Schwarber on a bunch of fantasy teams. Now, this is the old thing, how important is fantasy to fandom? Schwarber being on your fantasy teams this year and not doing well, has this made you not like Schwarber as much, or do you still love Schwarber? Or how, you know what I mean?
Still love Schwarber. Okay. And last year was so magical that they'll forever be tied together.
Yeah.
So I'll always be a fan.
Yeah.
I think it's the other guys I chose in my fantasy lineup that aren't doing as well.
Well, there was, I heard somebody was talking about that, and I have a tendency to root for guys that are on my fantasy team, whether it's on, you know, even if they're playing a Chicago. Now, if it's an important Chicago game, then that's one thing. But if it's a game, like if the White Sox are playing somebody now and they're playing against my pitcher and I'm in the top three, you know, it's
and
like
you're
going,
doing really well
it's
in
going
the one
first,
league.
Second, third, like every day it changes. Yep. I'm not rooting for the White Sox in that. I'm rooting for my pitcher,
that's what
I mean?
Yep.
Now, if the White Sox needed that win to get into the playoffs, that's a different story, probably.
Yep.
No, I'm sure of it.
You're going to win that thing. I'm rooting for
it. I hope so. That would be nice.
Yep.
Okay, Pistol Pat's on the line. What's new, Pistol?
Pretty good. How are yourself, Tom? How's it going for you?
Good.
Good. Okay, I got a couple items here. I got some Albert Pujols autographed baseballs and a Fleur Legacy rookie card. And then one more item. Darryl Jr. is calling it quits. Earnhardt. I got a lot of his autograph stuff. What do you think a price on those things would be worth?
Bill Huggins, do you run any Dale Earnhardt Jr. stuff in any of your auctions?
Gosh, I know. At one time we had one of his driver's suits and helmets that did quite well. His autograph, I think he's a very accessible autograph. You know, his father's autograph sells for quite a bit, unfortunately, with his early passing. But Dale signs a lot of stuff, and I want to say his autograph it's kind of like DJ, Dale Jr. or something, or something like that. And I haven't seen it bring a ton of money, unless you've got one of the cards that come in the packs that are low numbered. Those can bring some good money.
Now, Pistol, Albert Pujols is a Hall of Famer, but going back to the contract and the money per WAR, I just looked this up because I was on the page for Moose Scourin, and I remember hearing from somebody that Pujols was having a bad WAR year, okay?
Yeah.
He's making $26 million. Eric, I don't think your calculator goes up this high. He's making $26 million. You know what his WAR is this year?
No.
Albert Pujols?
I'll say one.
Negative 1.4.
Wow.
So that's got to be like $100 million or something that would come out to be. So his contract for the Angels hasn't – they can't be too happy with the production that they're getting. I was kind of surprised it's that low, though, because he's got 21 homers, 93 runs batted in, but –
A lot of other players are hitting a lot of homers as well. It compares you to the other guys.
And looking at this, he's only got a .289 on base percentage. Wow, that's kind of amazing. 33 walks. That isn't very good. Yeah, so anyway, Pistol Pat, I think you're going to have long-term, you'll always have good value for that, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
If the Angels do make the playoffs and he finishes strong, that would actually help his stuff, I think. I want to see Trout in the playoffs, don't you?
Yeah, he needs that national.
I really want to see how. You never get to see Trout on television. I hate him being on the Angels. It'd be nice if he was on a Midwest team, or we'd probably be sick of him if he was on the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Bring him to the White Sox, right, Tom? Just bring him to your side.
You know, as far as money goes, with all these young guys, I mean, the White Sox will have the money to sign whoever they want, as long as you can find. But I would think there would be a couple big-name guys with this group of young talent that maybe want to come to the Sox. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, you know, who they end up getting. Bo from St. John. Is it St. John, Indiana, Bo?
Yeah, St. John. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I got a National League ball signed by Harry Carey. It's a Holy Cow Harry Carey. It says on it in blue ink.
That's kind of cool. Nice. I think they usually go in the $100 to $150 range. He's in the Hall of Fame, so that's a good thing. Harry Carey, Holy Cow, that'd be a good one to have. And a Jack Brickhouse, Hey Hey. You know, you could have the two of them up next to each other. That's a pretty good item.
It would have been great for them to see a Cubs World Series victory. You know,
yeah, it's pretty amazing. Isn't that incredible that in so many big Cub fans in their entire lifetime, they never saw
and
one.
And Ernie Banks, Santo not seeing
boy. And Santo not making the Hall of Fame in his lifetime. Yeah. That was terrible.
Yep.
Mike from Chicago's on the line. What do you have there, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too much.
I got a Steph Curry autographed picture from 2015 championship right after they won it with the trophy.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I don't know what his signed photos. I would imagine that might be a couple $100 for a Curry signed photo. His autographs are pretty expensive, and I don't see him. I think he might have some things that are Panini authenticated, but I would think that would be pretty expensive, at least a couple $100 for that item. How much did you pay for it, or did you get it in person?
I actually got it as a gift. I was just kind of curious to see what it was worth. Yeah. I wasn't really planning on getting rid of it.
Yeah, it's very nice. That's a good item, and you'll be in the drawing from that standpoint, so thanks for the call. We're already at the end of another show here. Now, don't forget, you can go to HugginsAndScott.com. I was going to try to get, there was all kinds of stuff I wanted to get the previews of that we didn't
best
get.
Best well-laid plans. Right?
Yeah, but time to do the drawing, Vince.
This week's winner is Bob from Oak Brook. So, Bob, email me your address to vince@ercdelivery.com. I get back to you, set up delivery right to your home or work free of charge, or you can reach out to Tom and pick up the prize right at a store.
Yeah, if you're a winner and you're thinking of coming by Triple Crown in Naperville anyway, just call me. Make sure I'll be there when you're planning on coming. I'll be there. I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. I'll be there 10 to 3:30 today. And let's see, Huggins and Scott number is 301-608-0355. If you have an item you think might be worth putting in an auction, you want to call somebody there. And don't forget to go to HugginsAndScott.com. Good luck to the people in Florida. And have a great week, everybody.